Welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And this is a magic episode.
Magic.
The magic of it is we're recording this one day, not for release the following 4 days later, in a bid to sometimes have an opportunity to ease the pressure on our week. So we're not going to talk about what we've been doing this week, although I can tell you what it will have included. It will have included a bit of studio time. It will have included a little bit of why am I not painting as much as I should. It will have included a little bit of tech. It will have included a bit of admin, because it always does. But what it means is we're going to jump straight into the topic, which is where we find support for each other. So, and where we find support for all of us as an artist in your creative journey. So this is almost prompted a little bit by a conversation that we recently had off recording, which we might attempt to repeat artificially, but also from some of your emails that have been coming in after our break saying what you like about the podcast and what you would like to see in it. And we had this lovely email in from Heather, which I'm not going to read in full other than to say, Heather, thank you very much for writing in. It meant a lot to both of us. But what she said was, I find such joy, enthusiasm and normalness in your discussions. They appear very natural. You clearly have a close bond with each other, which allows you to share and provide understanding in the challenges that artists face. You are equally able to defend your differences and the divergence of your own personal or creative process. I haven't really offered any requests or for suggestions. I've enjoyed your discussions with other artists and the topics for discussion, which engage the listener to think about their own weeks too. So we hope that the conversation that we're going to have today encourages you, again, to go back to your own creative life and think about where you get support. But this was also prompted by something that Louise turned up and said that she needed to say to me. And I said, are you sure this is wise? Should you say this before we record, or should we save it for later? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, the reason Alice is thinking that is because I'm not renowned amongst anyone who knows me for telling them anything nice that I'm feeling. This is not something I'm good at. And I'm doing some personal development work with a coach, and she encouraged me to start telling people how I feel about them, to which I instantly got like literally a panic of cold shivers down my spine. Like, why would I do that to myself? And she said, oh, I think you should start with Alice because you work with her all the time. I know you think highly of that. I think you should start with Alice. And so I came on the podcast. I said, I'm really scared to do this. I don't want to do it, but I have to do it because it's my homework. So I want to tell you, and I can't remember the exact words that I used. We should have recorded it. But the truth of how I feel about Alice is that when I met her, I was floundering around with my art. I was not sure how to move forward at all. And I found her online. And I feel like ever since then, she's been a light in the darkness. She's been kind of a bit ahead of me, and she's had the light. She's shone the light on the path forward. And whereas many, many artists that I met when I was first starting out hoarded out all of their knowledge and kept everything so it felt like a secret club, Alice openly shared everything and made it feel possible for me. And I have come to really value her as a friend and as a peer and as someone I really respect in her personal life. I like her as a person. I respect her. I think she's a brilliant artist, but I also think she's a good teacher. There's just so much about her that I really admire. And I had never told her that. I don't think I'd ever told her that. So I came on and told her that today. I did my homework. It was horrible, but I did. But you know what? It wasn't horrible in the sense that, as my coach had said to me, no one's going to hate you for showing up and telling them how much you like them. No one's going to say, oh, get away from me, I don't want to hear that. And you didn't. You were very nice back. So we thought, actually, that idea of the people in your life who have supported you or who do support you versus the people in your life who don't do that for you, that would make a really good topic for us to just chat about.
Yeah. And I said, I mean, I joked and I said, oh, well, I'm not sure I want to hear what you want to say. But when, you know, Louise said that to me, I said, well, you know, my homework is just going to be to graciously say thank you and accept that, because it's very difficult to, sometimes it's equally difficult. I know it's hard to hear criticism, but it's difficult to hear some of the nice things about you. And those of you who are a little bit new to the podcast, you might not realize that Louise and I didn't know each other very well when we started doing this. So this is something that has really kind of grown as we've been doing it. It has not been smooth and bump free. We have had some disagreements, not many, it has to be said, but we have had some disagreements, and we come from, you know, we have different family situations and all sorts of things. So it is very much a, I think it's a relationship born from a kind of respect for the differences that we each bring to it.
And yeah,
that's an important part probably of any relationship. And I said to Louise, you know, what I feel is that there are a lot of things that I am learning from Louise. I feel she is way ahead on me. She's, you know, she's got a different business background and experience from me. She's very good at making kind of clear decisions, which is something that I value in terms of being able to bounce back ideas from. I find that clear direction very helpful, and also a way to kind of show the light as to what can be done when we put our mind to it. And it's been enormously helpful in so many different ways to have that as part of what I've done over the last 6 years, I think. And I think we've done a podcast before about kind of creating your circle around you, but it's a really important part of it is to have other people that you are in touch with who you admire, who don't necessarily do things the same way that you do.
Mm.
But who can show you different ways of doing it and that certain things are possible. So I'm part of a business group at the moment, and it's not artists. Like, nobody else in there is artists. And quite a lot of what we discuss in there, it's very interesting because it makes me feel either, oh yeah, that sounds cool, or oh, I could definitely not do it that way, or that doesn't feel right to me. And that's why it's important that it's not growing a group of people who agree with everything that you say or who are going to be doing things the same way that you say, but having that support somewhere is important if you're going to continue this for when you do hit those lumps and bumps. And I think that's one of the things that when I started doing this in practice, there was nobody. There was nobody. I had to create it. So where have you found that online? How has that grown for you? Because
I think through you, because you started Connected Artists. And this is one of the reasons why you're so important in my artist life, because as you say, at the time when you started that, because when you began it, it was even just a free Facebook group, and there wasn't anyone else doing that. Or if there was, I hadn't found them. And so that group that you created initially, there were maybe 40 or 50 of us, and quite a few of those people still remain, and many of them are still in your orbit. And so I still know what's happening with them. And just seeing the different ways each of their careers have developed and how individual it is for each one of them, that's really inspiring to me. Because yes, you can sometimes look and we all naturally have that thing of, ooh, I should have done that. Oh, that should be me. You know, there's a little bit of that. And there should be, I think, in any group that's inspiring to you, it should be people that are a stretch for you that you think, wow, you know, I don't think I could do that. And it's the uniqueness of each person that is so inspiring. If everyone had gone and joined Alice's group and done the way Alice does it, then that would be quite boring, but they didn't. Yeah. Each person took what you were offering and then used it for their own development in their own unique way. And so that's been really key for me. And of course, now I have my own group, which inspires me in a different way. And the people in that group teach me things all the time too, because you know this, when you run a group, you learn as much from the people in it as you teach. There's all sorts to learn. But yours was the first. And so I think what that was important to me, because outside of that group, what I had was either admiring and supportive friends and family, or negative Nellies in friends and family who didn't understand what I was doing, or, as I say, other artists who I found it hard to penetrate that circle that they had, perhaps out of my own shyness. I'm not blaming anybody for that, but I found it hard to meet artists in real life. So online was key to me. And I so often see newer people looking for support from family members or spouses, which is usually the worst place to look for it from. Because either they'll say, you're fantastic and everything you do is wonderful, or they will not give you the support that you need. This often happens with spouses. They won't say the right thing. They don't know what the right thing to say is. They don't understand what you're doing. Even if they're not actively unsupportive, they just don't know what to say. And they always manage to say the wrong thing and hurt your feelings. And that is just, it's just the worst place to look for it. But when you started, so you said there was nobody. So did you have anyone online that you looked to? Did you have anybody that was an example?
I started, like, I wasn't even on Facebook, and I had to join a Facebook group for a program thing that I was doing. And I think I'd had a Facebook account that I'd never used, and because I couldn't see the point of it. And so I had to kind of work out how to get that re-energized in order to join this group and part of the discussion that was happening. And I realized pretty quickly from that how quickly those online connections could turn into something that was really true and really valuable in real life. And I think before that point, I'd always been a bit skeptical about online. Like, it's not real, it's not genuine. Nobody, you know, people can say one thing and mean something else. And actually, I think our senses are pretty good, even online, at picking up when somebody is genuine and when they're not. And from that experience, like, there were a couple of people who I got together with. Again, this wasn't art related. I got together with in real life, but they were in a similar situation to me. So I was doing this at a point where I was thinking, you know, am I going to go back to my old job? What am I going to do career wise? And to meet at that point other mothers with young children who were in a similar situation, testing something out in a similar way, trying something, quite frankly. You know, they weren't just going, okay, fine, I'm just going to turn around and walk back into whatever's easier. You know, they were making the choice to do something, to create a project that didn't exist before, that they didn't know if it was going to work. And that was really inspiring to see that sort of creative to and fro and decision making, and to see people follow through on their ideas and make something that was imperfect, even if they turned around and said, you know what, that didn't work, I'm going to do X, Y, Z instead. And it was a really valuable lesson in really, really feeling that and really seeing that it could be genuine. And that was a very important part of it for me, to see how we can take these, you know, the online does not mean that it's fake or false. You know, it can lead to real, real genuine connections. Where else do you, so as well as online though, where else do you get support in what you do? Are there other practical things that you do that help support you as in your work?
What do you mean?
I suppose I mean things like asking for help. Like, I know you have
neighbor
who's very, he's handy at all the things that you're not handy with.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic gift, but also you've had to ask for that.
Yes. Yes. So I get that support, but also support on the business side of things so that I can have time to paint. One of the things, I'm not someone who wants expensive cars. I don't buy new clothes. I don't want much in life, really. I've got, you know, I've got a nice house. I'm very lucky. I don't feel like I want anything material that I don't have. But I feel like what I want to spend any money that I have on is time to do what I want. So asking for support, buying support in ways that make time for me. You talked about framing. That's one obvious way. But the fact that my dog goes to daycare 3 days a week because he needs a lot of attention. He needs a lot of playing with and he takes up some time. He needs walking. That gives me some time. Just looking for ways that I can get help with practical day-to-day things that and not being tight about it. At the moment, my husband can't drive because he's been ill. So getting a car to take him when he wanted to go somewhere the other day, so I didn't have to do it, so I could paint. So finding that and getting help with business stuff. I have someone, a bookkeeper, and it's not very expensive and it takes a big weight off me. It means the things I don't like to do, someone else does. That's where I've found it really important. And in doing my course, asking for help and bringing people on board to help me do that has again given me more painting time because I'm more and more realizing that what I want is painting time.
Yeah.
And not only have they given me more time, but they've made the course better and richer because their experience and their, you know, the coaches I've brought on board, they've really given a whole other dimension to it. Allowed me to make the course better and richer and given me more time back. So that's where I get practical support. I thought you meant in real life people. And I don't have any real life people. I mean, I do have real life people. I'm not here in a little world on my own. But apart from my neighbor who makes the panels, I don't have anybody who you think you have some artist friends in person that you meet up with. I don't have any real life people that I meet up with. And I think that would be nice.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because both of those things, whether it's online, what we're talking about is creating a space for yourself. It's not necessarily asking for support, is it? It's creating a space for yourself where you are supportive and where you are supported rather, and where you recognize what's important to you in your life, what's possible at this stage, and what you can do to make that easier or make it happen. And I think sometimes we think that there are going to be huge jumps or big things that are asked of us or that we need to do to make that change happen. But while you're talking about it and like the dog going to daycare, you know, I remember at one point just getting really fed up with family meals, like, ugh, you know, shopping and they're cooking and ugh, family meals. And occasionally just getting one of those food box things in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it was just 1 week a month where I didn't have to think about family meals.
Yeah.
That was something.
I get those. I get those too.
Do you? Yeah. I mean, that can be, it can be a real small thing that can actually end up being quite a big shift, I think, in whether you feel like you're giving yourself enough time and looking after. And sometimes it involves saying no to things. That was something that was massive for me, was accepting that it meant that I had to say no to things.
Yeah, that's an uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? When you say no and you're not used to it, you have to be willing to say no and then feel horrible for saying no without going, oh, never mind. Actually, it's okay. I'll do it.
It's funny. I suppose the things that I'm thinking of, I didn't feel horrible saying no because I had done them for a number of years. You know, so I'm thinking of supportive things with the kids' school. I kind of felt like I'd done my time.
Yeah.
So it was easier to say no. But what it did do was it made me be clearer about the decisions that I was making, in the sense that if I was going to say no to doing those things, that meant that the time that I regained from that, I was going to have to make sure I used it properly. So it was quite good in terms of a little booster in that sense. And I think that that can help as well. If you're finding some of these things a little bit difficult, just making sure that you make the most of what you've then created, the space that you've then created for yourself.
I think it's striking me as we're talking that it's very proactive. So both the getting practical support, whether that's ordering meals or getting someone to do your frames or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that's, you have to be proactive and you have to make that happen. And finding the people who are going to lift you up and inspire you, going back to the beginning of this, that's has to be proactive too. And because when we first started working together, we didn't know each other very well at all. We'd met once in person and we'd spoken a couple of times online. Me asking you if you wanted to do this podcast was really at the time one of the scariest things I've done in business, because I fully expected you to reject that idea. And I wouldn't have blamed you if you had done, because you didn't really know me from Adam. Why would you say yes? And I think a lot, people ask me to do things often and they do say no. So it's every chance that if you reach out to someone and ask them to do something with you, that they will say no. But there's 100% chance if you never ask them that it won't happen. So there's a difference. This is important, I think. There's a difference in reaching out to someone and saying, do you want to do this thing with me, if that's also possibly beneficial for them? Or reaching out, if I'd have got in touch with you and said, Alice, will you be my mentor and answer all my questions about art? And will you just be there if I need you? That would be a huge ask. And yet often that's what people ask of other people. Often people email you or message you and say, would you be my mentor? Or would you answer this question? Or would you show me how you do this thing? That's too much to, I'm not encouraging anyone to reach out and ask for that. I mean, you can if you want, but you're probably just putting a burden onto someone else. But if there's someone that you really think could be inspirational, and see if there's something you can offer them, I suppose is what I'm saying. What could be mutually beneficial so that you can be in their world? Or I don't know, it's hard, isn't it? Because not everyone wants to invite someone else to do a video series or a podcast series, but there must be something. Maybe you offer them a chance to be in an exhibition with you. Maybe you say, I'm going to organize an exhibition. Would you like to show with me if I can sort
exactly out? Exactly. I mean, it could be just getting together and helping, you know, talk about your work. If you're talking about somebody who's at a similar level for you, but it's that feeling of being clear about what it is that perhaps you want, and also being brave enough to ask. Like, I never forget when I had the first baby and we were in a house, and I was at home with a baby in the pushchair on my own, and I'd seen this lady with a baby in a pushchair coming in and out of our street a couple of times. And one day I saw her and I kind of ran along the high road after her. And at that point, she didn't have a pushchair with her. And I actually stopped her and said, oh, hello, hello. And she must have thought I was a complete nutter. And I said, I just wanted to say hello, because I've noticed, I think we're in the same street and we've got children the same age. And would you like to come for coffee one day? And, you know, she said yes. And it was the beginning of a friendship that lasted not till now, although if we saw each other in the street, we'd still be friendly. But, you know, the kids move up, they change schools, it's separated. But, you know, for a long period, that group of friends was my support. And it only happened because I was kind of brave enough to reach out and ask.
I don't know I could do that in person, because I messaged you to ask you. I don't know if I could have asked you face to face. That's very brave to go up to someone and say, well, like, that's being in primary school. Will you be my friend?
Yeah, completely. Yes. Totally. Will you be my friend?
It worked. She said yes. So it just goes to show you, because people will often say, well, it's very, you see, I said at the beginning that it was hard for me to break into the circle of local artists. But I don't know if that would have been true if I'd actually gone and said, will you be my friend? Like, I don't know that anyone would have said, no, get away. Mm. Just it was more a situation. Often we find ourselves in a situation where, especially if you move to an area, as I had, people have known each other a long time. They're friends. They're not necessarily being cliquey. They're just friends and they've been together for a long time. And if you want to get into that, you have to be the one to make a move and be proactive, because nobody's going to say, oh, come and be part of our circle of friends. That's just not how it works.
Okay, so if this is hard to do, then why is it so hard? It's so hard because we think we're going to get rejected. Yeah. So your desire for it and your being ready to give on an equal level has to be bigger than your fear of being rejected, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the benefit for me of being the way I am is that I'm very impulsive, and if something comes into my intuition, I'll do it without giving myself time to think about it. Because if I think about it, then I'll talk myself out of it. So I remember when I thought of it, I was making dinner. I thought, oh, I should ask Alice to do a podcast. And I sent you a Facebook message that minute without even thinking, do I want to do a podcast? And then I panicked. Then I felt sick. Then I thought, oh, she's... And then I saw a message from you back quite quickly, and I didn't dare open it because I thought, oh, this will be a rejection. So it is that fear of rejection. It's that fear of someone saying... And then I opened it and you said, oh, I've been thinking about doing a podcast too. Yeah, let's give it a go. And it was such a, oh, wow, that was easy. I remember thinking, wow, that was easy.
Yeah.
But honestly, if I'd have thought about that for any longer, I wouldn't have done it. So I would have just said, no, there's no way this is going to work.
But that's a really good point, though, isn't it? Is that our intuition is stronger than we usually give it credit for. And if you've got an idea and it keeps going, ning, 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 do this, do this, do this, do this, just do it.
I remember when I asked Seth Godin, it was such an impulsive thing at 11 o'clock at night. I wanted to ask him to be on the podcast. It was too late to mention it to you. And again, I knew if I didn't do it, I wouldn't dare ask. And it wasn't quite as scary because obviously I don't know him personally. So if he said no, it wouldn't be awkward. But still, it was a bit scary and I sent it off. And again, he answered that night. He answered within a couple of hours and he said, oh, I'm doing a podcast book tour. I'd love to be on your podcast. And it turned out afterwards that he checked us out in the interim and made sure that he wanted to do it. And he didn't. Again, it worked. But then I was struck by panic of, it was by then about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was going to bed and I had to tell you the next day that, oh, I've asked Seth Godin to be on the podcast. Sorry about that.
Has there ever been a time where you've asked for support for something and you've not got it?
I'm sure there must have been.
But isn't this interesting? Because I was thinking when I was asking you that, but I can't remember it. I'm sure for me too, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Now. Have I so been?
There's a lesson in there, isn't there? Is that actually, if there is a time, and there probably has, where something didn't go your way or you didn't get what you wanted, we do probably kind of forget it and move on a bit.
Yes, I do. I didn't get rejected. I remember asking somebody early on if they ever did mentoring as a professional, and they just didn't answer me.
Right.
We'd been having a conversation by email or Instagram or whatever. And I said, oh, if you ever do mentoring, I would love. And then there was just radio silence. And so that was obviously, no, I don't. But it didn't feel like
It was probably, though, someone just thinking, maybe I need to think about that. Maybe I don't do mentoring and I'll need to see how it fits in. And then it just kind of filters out.
Yeah.
But really it didn't ever intended but by it.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't been scarred by it. It's not like, so I can't think of a time when I've asked and somebody said something really hurtful back. You know, nobody's ever. So that's the thing. It's just like the fear of saying your feelings, as I was experiencing. It's not like when you do it, it's going to end up being anything horrible.
Okay, I want to talk about the other side of it a little bit, which is, you've said you're quite a loner in the sense that you quite like working independently and on your own. I think I naturally like working with other people around me. So the downside of this is that if we're always looking for network, outside support, it can become a very noisy place in your head. Not only have you got all of your, oh, what if thoughts, but you've got everybody else's what if suggestions and thoughts as well. How do we cope with getting too much input? Is that something then that you therefore don't find that difficult? You have quite an easy filter between.
Yeah, and we've talked about human design, which is just a way of looking at your personality. And some people will think it's a load of bollocks and some people won't. But it's very interesting when you can go online. If you just look up human design, you can get a free report of your own human design. And mine is very much for someone who works alone, gets things done, doesn't ask other people for help, and in fact is better off doing that. And I definitely feel that when I read that, it just made me feel so much better. It made me feel so much less a freak because I saw myself in it, that it's this relationship that we have is very unusual for me, a working relationship that's lasted this long where, and I think it's because it's only on one little thing, it's on one thing and I can cope with one thing where someone else has a say, but any more than one thing, it's hard to describe, but the hardest thing I find is to bring other people in and tell them what I'm doing. It's the opposite. So my team, I have to, and if they're listening, they'll be nodding because I'm bad at just plowing on and forgetting to tell other people what I've done. So I don't have that problem of feeling too much input. I do have a problem if I get any input, it can completely throw me off because I've got to do it my own way. I've got to. So you asked that question though, does it mean that you feel that sometimes happens?
I think I sometimes look at, because there are so many possibilities. There are so many possibilities and people say, oh, you could do this, you could do, and the answer is yeah. And then I have that, why aren't I doing all of those things? You know, how can I do all those things? I should be doing all of those things. I want to do all of those things. It's not that I'm being pushed into do something that I don't want to do. It's just the reality is it's not possible to do everything. And so I suppose I find that a little bit hard in the kind of, there isn't enough time in, it's not that there isn't enough time in the day though, is there? Because, you know, there are always things that you can say yes to and things you say no to, but something has to go. Like, I wouldn't want to say no to this.
So you feel a bit like, because there are all these ideas coming in from other people, it feels busy in your head with which one.
Yeah,
because I have that with ideas coming in from me.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that idea. It's the same thing. I'm sure you have that too, is your own ideas pop in. And then, but I tend to be able to just think, well, I tend to just let them be. And if it's a really an idea that's going to happen, it keeps pushing forward until it actually happens.
Yeah, and a lot of the way that I deal with it is the kind of, okay, well, in reality, what's the priority here? What's going to go? What do you really want to stay? But I think sometimes the best ideas and the ones that really sit are the ones that you just act on really quickly.
Yeah.
You're in it before you've even had time to even question, is this a good idea or not? And it can be as simple as reaching out to somebody with a message on Instagram and saying, hey, how do you fancy setting up a kind of quick group together or something like that? And before you know it, it's happening.
Yeah. Because if you think about anything too long,
there's always negatives.
at our age, we know all of the negative. When you're young, you jump into things and you don't even know what the negatives are. But as you get older, you start to be able to anticipate them all and extra ones. And you'll just imagine all sorts. So, or even the reality, you'll just know, if we'd have thought all through the podcast and thought through everything it was going to mean that we'd have to do, and then we might have thought, no. But you're only seeing the negatives and you've not experienced the positives until you do it. So you're right. It's just those things that you leap into, and then you have to do it because you've said you'll do it now. So you have to.
That's a massive thing for me, publicly making something a little bit accountable.
Yeah.
And then I've got no choice then.
Yeah.
So that's somewhere where I take that, you know, make a message, do a message about it, like do an Instagram post about it, you know, say something that you've been thinking of doing, say you're going to do it publicly, and then you've got to.
Yeah. That's actually another way of getting support, isn't it? It's like you're getting the invisible support of all the people who you imagine now are waiting for the thing that you've said you're going to do. So you're kind of tricking yourself into getting support from other people, but it's a different kind of support. Where do you find the support? We've talked about me, but where do you find your support?
I think I find support through conversations that help me go through a process in my own mind. So I think you probably get to a stage quicker, clearer, easier. And I quite like going around the houses a little bit, mm-hmm. to get to that same end point, which is an instinctive yes or an instinctive no. And sometimes I feel that quickly, but quite often I do feel like I need to go through a little bit of a process. So, you know, I get it through, you know, walking and chatting with friends. Possibly it used to be discussing things with my parents. That doesn't happen for various reasons. Now they just don't get anything. It's just not worth doing. And I think making connections with other people who have similar kind of challenges, because they're juggling similar issues. You know, ultimately we group together with people who we feel are similar to us, and that there is an understanding there. But I do find it interesting to be in spaces with other people who are doing very different things. Mm. I enjoy it.
You said about the business group.
Yeah.
Are they all small business owners?
Yeah, they're all small business owners, and they're all sort of working with things online, but really different subject areas and really, you know, really different ways that they do that. And I find that quite stimulating and reassuring to know that some of the things that I'm struggling with, other people struggle with, who I perceive as being a lot further on than me, and this stuff still comes up. I find it reassuring where sometimes I can say something that other people think is helpful. That's quite nice. So it's just that it becomes a reciprocal thing then. So I really enjoy that. But yeah, I would say that for me, it is through conversation is often what leads me back to, yeah, this is what I do or what I don't want to do. The problem for me is places of being doubtful. And if I stay stuck for too long in a position where I'm not sure which way should I go, left, right, left, right, left, right, that's hard. That's the bit that I get stuck in. And, you know, there are different ways. I mean, sometimes the answer is sitting, writing it all down on a big piece of paper and really realizing that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I don't actually want to do that. Right. Well, I'm left with these three. You've got to pick two. I'll do that. You usually, when you start making it really concrete like that, usually really yes. know what I want to be spending my time on.
Yeah. I often tell people, like when I was selling my course, people would write and say, should I do this course? Is it right for me? And they'd ask all the questions. And I got to the point where I just say, if I wrote back and said, absolutely not, like you are not right for this course, you shouldn't do it, would you feel relieved or would you feel horribly disappointed? Yeah. And then you know what you really want to do.
Yeah.
So it's like flicking a coin and saying heads or tails. And then if you're disappointed when you get, you know what you really wanted.
Really good.
Sometimes I've had that because I'll sometimes think I'm not sure. But more often I have the opposite problem where, because we've talked about, I am very good at making a decision, but also I'm a little bit black and white. And I don't often, sometimes I don't see the possibilities in between the black and white. So for me, it's all or nothing until someone points out, well, what about somewhere in the middle of all or nothing? Oh, okay. That's possible as well. Yeah, I didn't think of that. It's interesting, isn't it? Again, what is our strength is also our weakness always.
Absolutely. And I think when we started this and we thought, okay, well, let's just record this random gibberish. One of the things was this desire, like I kind of have a desire to have an artist business other half that knows me, that I can't be bothered to explain everything to them. I expect them to like know it intuitively, right? I don't want to have to explain it or go through anything with everyone, but I want them to be the balanced side of me. And yeah. that's quite interesting because I think that shows me the areas that I need support in. And that's maybe where I need to concentrate looking a little bit further, because we kind of know the things that we're good at and we tend to shy away from the things that we're bad at, but or avoid.
Yeah. And my VA, hi Jamie, she's become kind of that in some ways for me, not business side of things, but the side of thing, all the things I'm not very good at.
Yeah.
Or most of the things I'm not very good at. I can just think now we're starting to get to the point where I can think, oh well, that'll be I can have that taken care of and I won't have to worry about it. That's nice. But it's not everything. So it what you're talking about is more of a someone who's more on the business level with you, who and understands your art as well. They'd have to like understand all of it. They have to be you. You have to clone you.
I have to clone a twin version of me. That's the opposite. That's what we're looking for here.
Yeah.
That's the fantasy land. The reality is, I mean.
No, don't say that. You've got to manifest this person now. Oh. You can't say, you got to say, I am so looking forward to the moment when I meet this person who's already on their way to me, because I've now sent up my rocket of desire. Everyone can tell I've been listening to a lot of Abraham Hicks. And I can't wait for the moment when they arrive. And you have to go on a rampage now to tell yourself they're going to arrive.
I genuinely can't wait for the moment when that person arrives. I will be avidly, where are they going to arrive? Checking my Instagram.
But will you, now I'm going to ask you,
emails.
Would you be comfortable if they arrived and said, right, taking over now, Alice, off you go. I'm doing all this. Do you think you would be comfortable? Or would you be checking back in saying, did you think about this? What are you?
I'm getting much better at that. I think, from having, I have the lovely Beck who's in Australia. I tell you what, the magic of having somebody who's hours ahead and going to bed and waking up and finding something is done. And she is very good at a lot of the things that I'm absolutely useless at. I mean, we did have a funny thing the other day and she just said, I can't remember what it was. She says, I quite like doing this. I'm like, because you're a genius at doing all of this. I don't even know how you work it out. But she quite likes that kind of thing. So work to your strength. So I am getting a little bit better. My hesitation is I feel like I don't want to overwhelm other people. Say, can you just do all of that, please? Because that doesn't really feel fair. So I need to just check what my boundaries are with that. But no, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Okay, so universe. Send Alice her perfect person, please.
And for any of you, those of you listening, I would just say that again, I think this is something else that does come through in stages and often comes from a point of frustration. And I think those points of frustration can be really good signposts sometimes, really useful signposts as to when something needs to change for you. And they're not always comfortable signposts, but they're often quite useful in terms of, right, okay, what can I actually do about this? And it doesn't always have to be a big, huge thing. Like I say, it could be, you know, a small thing, like, you know, if you've got young children, like, you know, don't feel guilty about the fact that they're going to nursery or daycare, or you're sending your dog to daycare, or something that's going to give you more
time. I do feel guilty when I drop him off, even though he's got a waggy tail and he runs in. I feel like I should be looking after my own dog. And, you know, talking to older women, particularly women this comes up with, they still feel guilty. They'll say, oh, I haven't, you know, I have to make dinner for my sons. And it turns out they're 20. You know, like they can make their own dinner. But this goes on for some people that they feel that guilt. If I'm not doing this for everybody else. Somebody said to me recently, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that thing, but I can't afford that. And it was something for their art. And I said, can you afford it? And she went, yeah. So she said, I can't afford it. And then when I said, can you afford it? She said, yeah. What she meant by I can't afford it is I can't spend that money on myself because I'm used to spending that money on other people, i.e. the rest of the family, not myself. Mm. And that's the other side of it, isn't it? It's using support sometimes means money. So feeling guilty about time, but feeling guilty about the money as well.
And I think maybe that's where I kind of struggle. And I think these things do have a long shadow that they cast. You know, for a long time, I wasn't earning money. And it's taken a while to get to the stage to think, yeah, actually, I can spend money on things. But, you know, people have hobbies and all sorts of things that they spend money on that I might consider completely irrelevant.
Yes.
You know, you only have to look probably amongst your friends to see some of the things that they spend money on that you do or don't want to do. And it, you know, we all get to choose, but we forget that.
Yeah. And we're all entitled to our fair share of it. Like we're all entitled. We don't have to be the one. And I've never been guilty of this. So I won't pretend that I have. I've never been guilty of not spending money on myself. But I see lots of people who won't do it at the same time as their spouse has a garage full of expensive bicycles and a fishing license and a season ticket to the football and all sorts of things. And then they say, oh, but I'm spending a lot on paint. And it doesn't even begin to add up to all the things the other person's spending. So just, I suppose what we're saying is look for ways to support yourself, whether that is going to cost money or mean someone else has to do something for themselves or mean you're going to have to ask for something which might be a little bit uncomfortable. But where would you love to have support? Whether that's someone to inspire and excite you, someone to support you, or whether that's someone to take your dog for a walk twice a week, where would you like some support?
Yeah, in order just to get more of you back. Okay, so maybe that's a little challenge for you in this week. As you're going about the rest of your week, think about where this applies to you or what you might be able to change. And we will be back next week with a full episode. In the meantime, you can catch up with both of us on Instagram. I am at Alice Sheridan Studio and Louise is at Louise_Fletcher_art. And we would love to see you. Say hi, come and say hello, and do share out this episode if you think anybody else will be interested of your friends. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.